At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a little bit, about almost 10 into hour three. If you haven't had a chance, we're going to see about a visit with Michael McCarthy momentarily. But if you haven't seen the field, the Louisiana Derby field, it's an overflow, as Tom Amos mentioned, and enforceable, certainly. And modernist, the Risen Star winner, enforceable second in Mr. Monomoy's Risen Star. Royal Act makes the trip for Peter Urton, just as Jay Privman mentioned on Friday, and some other names. Wells Bayou behind Silver Prospector when last seen in the Southwest. And here is the New York bred Chestertown getting his heavy head opportunity. And as we had said earlier on in the winter, Steve Asmussen was kind of spoon feeding the $2 million tappet out of Artemis Agriterra, the Bromans. And of course, the Bromans buying back in with West Point. So a nice field and a great day of racing at Fairgrounds, and I'm sorry I can't be there, and I just hope it goes through. And the calls come through to Michael McCarthy, who joins us. Michael, congratulations. CC,
guys,
Bo
Hirsch. For having me. Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There were a few things about this that I thought were fun. That was Bo's first grade one since the Dam won the Del Mar Debutante like 16 years ago.
Yeah, long time between drinks for Bo. Great student of the game, obviously a wonderful owner, been part of the California landscape for quite some time. His father has a grade one named after him at Del Mar, the Clement Hirsch, which is a mile and a 16th on the dirt, which I've heard a couple people say would be awfully neat if Bo could hand himself his own trophy.
Talk a little bit about her development. I don't know if you saw, I tagged you, but I don't know if you saw the tweet yesterday about how the going back to the Acorn last year, what an unbelievable group that ended up being. They've all have won since, two allowances and seven stake winners. And, you know, CC, you know, you shipped in, and I thought that was like a signal at the time, you know, about what you thought of her then.
The way things worked out last year was after she broke her maiden, I was sort of starting to think big things and might have gotten a little bit ahead of myself. And unfortunately, had to run against Olders early in the summer or early in the spring last year. The Acorn was kind of sitting out there. It's a grade one, big weekend at Belmont weekend, obviously. I wasn't sure a mile was kind of what she was wanting at that time. She was still kind of putting the pieces together and getting better with each race. But at Belmont Park, it seemed like there was an inside bias that day. Speed was very good. The winner was very good. Obviously, we look back on it now, you know, coming up on almost a year later, and probably one of the more productive races in the country. Coming off of a long layoff, I wasn't sure what to expect in her first race back. She trained very well. I didn't think she would win in the fashion that she did. In the 5 weeks ensuing, we gave her every opportunity to kind of tell us she didn't want to run, and she just kept on getting better and better and better. And her last work was phenomenal here. I thought it was a ripe opportunity for us to get some grade one black type.
Talk about how you wanted to approach it and instructions and then watching it unfold.
I didn't think there would be, I thought it was on paper. I thought the race would unfold just kind of like you saw it. I thought Hard Not to Love would make herself prominent early. I did not want to get stuck four wide around the first turn and give up any ground to a filly like that, especially her and Always Candy, both graded winners. Best laid plans of men sometimes don't always work out. We were caught four wide around the turn. Victor was able to kind of ease her over. Coming through the four furlong pole, was able to eyeball that filly at the quarter pole, and the rest was up to Victor and the filly. But I didn't give him a whole lot of instructions. That's usually my thing. I don't like to lose a lot of ground into the first turn. Small fields out here. Crazy things happen sometimes.
Now, you could see the way Victor and CeCe cruised up that she was going to be very tough to deny. And so in the first opportunity to go the two turns, she really, I thought, gave a tremendous account of herself and just, hard not to love. She was also testing her capacity for, the two turns, and not to diminish, her try at all, but she didn't really have an answer.
No, that filly, I've watched her train quite a bit. I think John Sheriff's has done a magnificent job with her. She's obviously got some quirks. It can be difficult, even at the best of times. But I couldn't see a real excuse for the other day.
Well, I think I added up, your seventh grade one since officially being out on your own, and four different grade one winners in the last three-plus years, Michael. And it's exciting because she obviously has got, more development in her and more upside yet.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so. You know, with the racing landscape the way it is, you've got races like the, I'm not even sure what they call it now. I think it was the Humana Distaff. Maybe it might be called something different this year. Philly is one turn 7/8 at Churchill Downs. As I mentioned earlier, the Clement Hurst this summer at Del Mar, races all over the place. So there are plenty of options in play for her. Who knows if we'll be racing, where we'll be racing.
Yeah.
Way things are right now in the United States, say that sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. I believe that sort of rings true with what's going on right now.
Did you, Casey said to me that you're here. Are you at OBS?
I am not. I am in Southern California. I'm at
San Diego right now. Okay.
I just didn't think it was a real good idea, just in case we go on some sort of a shutdown, lockdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Quarantine. Who knows? So I thought it just best just to go ahead and stay here.
Well, I agree, and I was hoping to go myself. Listen, you can watch the Breeze. You can watch Thoroughstride. Lucas Marquardt's got the video of a lot of the horses, the catalog, and phone bidding. So we're expecting to talk to Jimmy, to Tommy Ventura. We can talk to Jimmy too. Jimmy's fun too. But we'll talk to, I think, to Tommy before we wrap up today. Michael, you also had the special horse that ran at Turfway, and Gary Young was on with us the other day as he was traveling, in fact, to OBS. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about the stiff? And he told us the whole story, and it's pretty special. And talk about, what he means to you guys as a horse and the effort on Saturday, Turfway.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. I actually bought the dam of the stiff 5 years ago, actually 6 years ago now, at OBS, off of Croupy's Newcastle, 120,000, I believe she was. And for as brilliant as she was for those 10.2 seconds at Ocala, that was the last time I'd ever seen it. Wasn't very good in the afternoon, was her own worst enemy, and had multiple issues after that. So I thought the best thing to do was go ahead and make her kind of just go away. And I thought 2,000 miles was far enough away in Kentucky. Aaron Wellman was nice enough to go ahead and do us a cover to Danza. We put her in full Danza in the interim. My father-in-law had passed away, and he was the one who's kind of had mentioned to me to go to Ocala and buy something. If he thought I liked it, he'd love to take a piece. And some family friends got involved. So the horse is actually named. It was my father-in-law's nickname, the Stiff. So there's nothing really phallic or crude about the name. It's kind of a golf term. You know, when you hit a good shot in golf, they call hitting it Stiff. And they used to call him Mr. Stiff or Stiffy or what have you. So named the horse after him. And it's been a kind of a fun journey. Horses won a few times. Obviously gone up north and run the El Camino Real and ran a sneaky good race up there, even though he was sixth. And then the other day, Turfway Park and the Jeff Ruby, didn't look like he could get hold of the volcanic ash that they were running on up there. It just looked like there was a dust cloud trailing everybody. So we'll get him back here, regroup. But, yeah, he's a house horse. He's a family horse. Kind of had himself a little bit of a cult following as well.
You go back to the turf with him?
Probably go back to the turf. The problem with him is he's got no early speed, and as you see so many times in these races out here in California, the way the grass plays with the tighter, firmer turf course, the rails out, if you're not within 3, 4, 5 lengths of the lead coming to the quarter pole, you have zero chance. And he's a horse that gets himself 10, 12 lengths back and comes with a late run, but by the time the running starts for him, they've stopped. So kind of a difficult horse to place, and a mile and eight seems to be right up his alley, but he needs to find horses in front of him that are just slow enough to make it competitive.
Hmm. Well, you'll have fun no matter what. You'll have fun with him, and he's already done some nice things and a couple of wins. You got photographs, and you got a, you know, he's a colt. I was going to say I would have assumed he was a gelding, but you haven't gelded him yet.
Oh, he's going to be a gelding before long. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yes, that seems like that was probably coming. Michael, I'm going to guess now that I'm not going to be out there. We don't know if there's going to be a Santa Anita Derby at all. But we didn't get a chance to talk about a few things. You've had a nice enough winter and quite a few stake horses that have run well, including Speech last week in the Santa Isabel behind the very talented Donna Veloce, and good old Ohio, who just plugs along. Who's what? Is he 8 now or 9?
9. He's 9.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Amazing. What about Brown Storm? He ran an okay fourth in the big cap, and there's been some nice buzz about the Chilean when he came here.
Horse was obviously a group winner down in his native Chile. Had won on the dirt and turf. He's come here and has kind of fallen into the program pretty nicely. He is acclimatized well. He will run as far as they write races, and obviously being right there in the San Marcos was beaten a length, length and a half of the whole thing in a very good time, going a mile and a half on the grass or a mile and a quarter on the grass. Came back in the big cap, ran a very respectable fourth in the big cap. Plenty of options out there for him. Don't know, you can look at some of these marathon type races on the dirt, mile and a quarter races on the dirt, turf stakes or, so we've got plenty of options with him. Obviously, we'd like to keep him around for the end of the year. Don't know if he's a Group 1 performer, but he's acting like it. He's just a two away from being top class. So we're trying to pick our spots, get him good, and start hunting.
Nice, nice. Anxious to follow. And I also want to ask you about the nice 3-year-old, Smooth Like Straight, was overhauled by Haribo. What was that, a week ago, 10 days ago in the Pasadena? But obviously already a stake winner at 2. What's next? What's next there?
Well, that's a very good question. Obviously, with racing being canceled, racing being postponed, what have you, we had an option here. I believe there was a race for him around the 25th of April. There's a very good 3-year-old race at Churchill Downs, Derby Week. It's 500,000 going a mile and a 16th, which is probably where he will end up. He's a horse that does gets a lot out of his training, so it's not like he necessarily needs to race to be ready. Nice horse. I think there's a lot of upside here. He won a stake this summer on going a mile on the grass. Or I guess it would be in the fall at Del Mar, going a mile at 136-1. He was beaten by Haribo the other day, did all the dirty work. They went a mile at 134. So I think there's plenty of them to go around. You know, I think when he matures, he'll be even better. So he is a he's an exciting horse for us to have, and very happy for Michael Cannon and his family. That's a homebred for them, their first homebred graded stakes winner. So neat story.
Very nice. And you've got how many horses you got for them, for the Cannons?
I've got six for Michael Cannon.
Very nice. Very nice. And then they've knock on wood, they've had some nice success.
They have, and they've, you know, put a lot of time and energy into breeding and choosing stallions wisely and stuff like that. So hopefully 2020 is another good year for them.
I want to ask you about one offbeat horse, which are fun. Lofty, the cowbred, who's 2-for-2 as a 3-year-old.
2-for-2, winning by open lengths, both starts on the grass,
yeah.
Sprinting on the grass. Just worked 5/8 a short while ago. Supposed to run this coming weekend if we do run. First time facing olders. It's that time of the year where everything matriculates. 3-year-olds start running against older horses with a large weight break. So from what I can tell here, she's holding her form. We'll look forward to leading her over there this weekend. Hopefully we do get that opportunity.
Red Baron's barn. And, of course, with the Red Baron's and Rancho Temescal, it's a great story, too. You have to arm wrestle with Mullins for horses from them.
Yeah. I mean, they are wonderful supporters of California racing.
Yep.
I wouldn't know how many they have in training. It's got to be probably 30 or 40. It seems like they have 2 or 3 in every day. In the state of California, regional market, there are not many people that play the game on the scope that they do. So to have horses for them is really nice. To have a nice one for them is even better.
Well, Michael, final question. You know, we spoke and you were very open and I thought you know, very honest about the situation a year ago. How are things? You know, how's the pulse from your vantage point out there?
I don't totally think the ship has righted itself yet. The water is definitely a little bit smoother out here. We've got some people in place that I believe are trying to do the right things here. Obviously, the hire of Craig Frabel. Aiden Butler has been very hands-on with what goes on around here. Chris Mers is a welcome addition to the racing office. Everyone's trying. Everyone's banding together. We've got a ways to go. But the mood seems better around here. I thought it was caustic here last year. Anytime you get big business and government involved, things can get a little crazy. So you've got people that don't know a lot about what we do, making rules and policy and stuff like that. And it gets a little bit difficult because this is a unique industry. It's a 7-day-a-week, 365-days-a-year type of a job. People don't understand that. I mean, from the guy that sells the Cokes here to the guy that prints the program to the blacksmiths to everybody in between, it affects everyone. So a closure, a shutdown, it takes its toll. And things seem like they're on the rise. Got to work on some field size issues here. But with the rules in place that they've put in as far as testing, medication rules. I said this before. You really want to be a beacon for change. You know, it's the kind of thing that they need to do at all of their properties, and I believe that they're going that way. So it's interesting. There's certainly a learning curve. Everybody seems willing to kind of comply. I mean, it's either you don't or you've got to go elsewhere. I came back out to California because I was done traveling. I'm from here. I love it here. I don't think there's a better place in the country to train racehorses with respect to the climate here. So we'll see.
Well, as always, rooting for you and everybody else out there. Michael McCarthy, MWM Racing on Twitter. And Michael, we'll see you along the way. I wish I could say, and I knew for certain, that I'd be out there for Santa Anita Derby. It'd be the first one I miss in I don't know, five, 6 years. But health and safety for everybody, the priority. And well done. CC, the latest grade one winner for the barn. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Michael McCarthy. Always a pleasure. Bottom of the hour coming up. Dale Romans on the other side. And I would say there's enough things happening out there in the world that will make a Dale Romans visit can't miss. He's next. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred racing at Sam Houston continues through March 28th with the March 21st Texas Champions Day on the horizon. The best Texas breds in the state or anywhere come together, over $500,000 in purse money. Tuesday afternoon racing starts on March 10th. The 12% takeout on all multi-leg wagers has made SHRP the most popular destination for horse players this winter. SHRP.com, Sam Houston Race Park. Follow Sam Houston on Twitter as well. SHRP.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The sun goes down another dreamless night. You're right by my side. You wake me up. You say it's time to ride. In the dead of night, strange canyon roads, strange looks. in your eyes. You shut them as we fly. As we fly. Stark Hollow Town, Carson City lights. Baby, let's get high. Spend Johnny's cash, hitch another ride. We laugh until we cry. You say go fast, I say hold on.
We're back at the races. Want to let this play a little. If you haven't, if you have not come across Orville Peck, I won't even attempt. I won't even attempt to describe. I think I'll send out a link later. All right, you can. It's Dead of Night, Orville Peck. Very different. Dale Romans standing by, and this crazy world. There's one person to go to for ballast and for to help us make sense of things, and it's Dale joining us now. Congratulations on Sally's Curlin's win on Saturday.
Well, thank you, buddy. That was a big win for us. You know, it's a group Corey Johnson's put together with the great ex-NFL star Mike Renfro, and to buy some horses after selling Kentucky Downs. And people will never realize how much Corey Johnson did for racing in Kentucky with what he did with Kentucky Downs. If he hadn't have put in those instant racing machines and started the ball rolling, I don't think Churchill or Keeneland or anyone would have ever followed suit. And you see what they've all done for Kentucky, and Corey's first one to step up. So it's great to win for a friend, but especially for a friend that's done so much for racing.
It's such a fair point, particularly when you fold in the imminent leveling of Old Turfway Park, and what's gonna rise there in Florence, and everything that's gone on at Ellis. The year round circuit never stronger than it's going to be here within, the next 18 months when that building is complete. And you even saw it this year, even without the fancy building, you had a Turfway winter that was, just big full fields and maidens for 46,000. People left horses up in Kentucky. It's good for everybody. It's been, there's no doubt what
you know,
Kentucky Downs
it's been a great success, and people don't realize the ability to do that has been sitting there for a long time. Everyone's afraid to make the capital investment that it wouldn't go through, and Corey stepped up with his group to Kentucky Downs and made the investment, and then when it started going gangbusters, that's where the Ellis Park money came from. We shifted purse money over to Ellis Park, and now even with Turfway, yes, they had a great winter. We shifted some Churchill money out of the Derby City Gaming. They have on Poplar Level Road that to Turfway to get them jump started this winter. When that facility's finished, it'll be a beautiful place, and it'll be a solid year-round circuit if we still have a world to live in.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that. Let's first of all talk about Sally's Curlin, and what a move she puts in. This is a 4-year-old that we talked about last year. And what did she win? The Chalukie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Chalukie. And then you put her away. You tried to stretch her out. And she's tried a mile and an eighth a couple of times. And she obviously prefers the elongated sprint or the one turn route. You get that sense from her. She's out of a more than ready mare, and this is a Stone Street. It was a big weekend for Stone Street, who had a couple of high profile winners. And I thought one of the other parts of this story that's nice, Dale, is the winter that Edgar Prado has had.
Yeah, resurgence, huh? That's been
pretty
crazy. He's a really, really good friend and one of the great guys in the game. And one of the greatest jockeys of all time. And He won the first grade one for me from here, Rose to Bay, back in the Whitney a long time ago, and it was good to win another stake with him.
Well, and, you know, she obviously, with this performance, I mean, she's kind of stamping herself as, you know, a serious, you know, the serious 7/8 type, the filly and mare, you know, sprint. And, gosh, you got, I don't know if they're, you'll be able to run in something like the Yamana, but until the maybe the, you know, late summer, but whatever it's going to be, she feels like a ballerina type and, you know, all the predictable 7/8 filly and mare sprints.
All the good filly races coming up you know, if we have racing, she'll be prepared and ready. We've said all along, Corey, now that, you know, we understood we bought an immature, physically immature Curlin, hoping to blossom out as an older horse, and this was supposed to be her year. You know, she's gotten it started off right.
And she was, you know, she was a you know, modestly of $160,000, kind of a, you know, kind of a introductory price as a Keeneland yearling. What was the backstory on picking her out?
Well, we just put, you know, the same thing I do with all my yearling purchases, and I talked to Corey about it a couple years earlier. The system we use, and he said, go buy me two fillies, and we bought this one and another one that ended up breaking her maiden and being, you know, average allowance horse, and those were the only two we bought. And he bought a few others. He's got two or three trainers, but it's worked out for Sally for sure. You know, I've always been hooked on Curlin. Before he really got popular, I think I was trying to get Curlins into the barn. And Keen Ice and this filly, and they've had some solid ones. And bred some mares to him. And so I was kind of keyed on the Curlins to begin with. And she was just the type I thought we could buy. She was physically, all the lines were right. She was physically a little immature. So you know, probably weren't going to get the big dollar people on. And if you're going to buy her and give her enough time to grow up and catch up and it worked. Sometimes they don't, but when they do, it sure makes you feel good.
Now, this is a nice one, and I remember the dam, Cabo Queen. I got to take a look and see what's behind this one, family-wise, as the sale season starts. We talked, Dale, last time we were together. You talked about attachment rate and solid third in his stakes debut in the Gotham, and I know that you were, you know, happy with his effort as a logical next step. You know, talk about what's gone on since last week.
Well, I was going to take him up and run the Bluegrass, and still kind of have that plan, and you know, we'll just see where things go. Everything is very fluid right now, by the way.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. We'll get into,
you know,
that.
My trip to Dubai, I don't believe I'm going there now with the horse. Just too much unknown and going out of country and trying to come back in. I think several people have decided not to go. And but you just got to put the health and welfare of your people and horses first.
Well,
you know, Churchill backed up their date. We were supposed to be able to get into Churchill tomorrow, and on the backside, now we can't get in for at least 2 more weeks.
Right. Well, we're going to hear by the end of the week what some decisions are going to entail. I frankly, Dale, if it means Mr. Freeze, and we don't know how New York is going to be able. New York's going to obviously postpone things for now as well. It looks like, based on the you know, the cooperative governors. Talking point this morning, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And otherwise, you know, Mr. Freeze, you got to think staying around is going to bring you a chance to run in something like, you know, the Carter and the Met. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. You were a proponent to me staying here before anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I was.
I went with your advice.
Not, yeah, okay. Let me ask you about two more horses before we talk about ripped from today's headlines kinds of news. And Four Grands with the nice maiden win. It didn't come back a big fig, but certainly won nicely.
Well, it came back a decent fig on everything but Buyer. And, you know, we've had this figure conversation enough. We don't need to beat that dead horse. But beautiful filly, does everything right. Royal pedigree. I mean, did you look into a pedigree very deep?
Well, I remember that Taylor. I remember Taylor S. I remember that filly.
Well, Taylor S. was my filly. She's a great stakes filly. One of the really top horses. She got a little injury with the tire, but she's a half sister to Liam's Map and Not This Time. She's by Medallia's,
nice.
The Oil. I mean, it's in her and their model, you know, of course, is a Breeders' Cup filly, and just a royal pedigree. It's one of the best pedigrees I've ever had in the barn. Honor Grace, of course, he's doing well, and just think the sky's the limit.
Well, anything, and again, everything's fluid, so you're kind of picking and choosing based on. But I mean, you would have looked to. I would assume you'd look to Keeneland with her.
Well, you would think of Beaumont or. You know, I was thinking even running back fairly quick. It's been how the race came up, stretching out and the Gulfstream Oaks. I don't think we're going to do that. I think we'll give it a little more time and figure out what to do in Kentucky.
Fair enough. Well, Dale, can't have a visit without a Dennis's Moment update. And I did see the other day where I think it was Mike Welch said that he watched him zip around and look good. What's the latest since we talked last?
He is doing well. He's doing very well. And he's staying good to date. I mean, Bluegrass was maybe on his list, too. That's still the moving target also.
There's any number of horses, and including I brought up Maxfield earlier this morning, and it didn't occur to me to include Dennis's Moment, but certainly if the Derby ends up in July, August, September, it'll suit you and Dennis's Moment, right? It gives you more time to kind of rebuild.
Yeah, it kind of would. I thought about the same thing. So, and it gets time to get a few more races under my other scope too, so that's my rate. So for me, moving to Derby personally for my horses would probably be a positive for me, but I don't want to see that done. I would like to see that. I hope everything's status quo or back to the old days when we get to the first Saturday in May. It's been moved before, you know, during World War II.
Sure.
They moved it to June one time. And that's the only time it hadn't been run in May.
Well, it'll still be the Derby no matter. No matter if it's whenever it's run, it'll certainly be debated and discussed about, you know, the development curve and you know, what horses, you know, in the early spring, 3 year olds versus the fall. But no matter what, it'll still be special. Let's shift gears, Dale. We got about 14 minutes. And I need your input. We started the morning with Tom Amos, and, you know, virtually every horseman. And others that have visited since Tuesday. We've discussed the indictments last week. Your thoughts, what does it mean going forward? Your impressions.
It's a sad thing that people have to feel like they have to abuse a system or cheat. Now, with that being said, innocent until proven guilty in this country. But if people are cheating and getting away with it, I must be very naive, because I was one that didn't think there was that much. You know, I'm sure people pushed the envelope, but I didn't think there was actual medications out there that they were using that wouldn't be detected, couldn't be detected, and would improve the horses so much. But, you know, you look at statistics and numbers, they don't lie. And things were just out of whack in a few places. So if we can look at the game as, either, you know, it's full of cheats, they dope their horses to win, they do whatever, do this, do that, as the PETA people say. Or we can look at the other side of it. There's a lot of great people out here that play by the rules, that go to the game, treat the game with great respect. They don't steal purse money. They don't steal thrill of victory. They don't steal glory. And in all aspects of this world, I don't care what it's in, the criminal is always one step ahead of the enforcement or the testing, but they always catch up. You always get caught. I'm glad if they're guilty, I hope they never come back around a racetrack, brand them with a scarlet letter. There's nothing worse, in my opinion, than a cheat and a thief. And let's move forward and be glad that the game got cleaned up, that they did get caught, and that they will be out. You know, baseball went through it with Belco and all the steroids, and they tell you this. You don't know you need a test for something until something has come up with to use. And hopefully it will be a big deterrent for anybody who thinks about cheating in the future. There's plenty of money in this game to go around. There's plenty of glory. There's plenty of fame and fun. You don't have to cheat and take more than what you have coming. And I think there's going to be, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, though. I think there's going to be more guys caught up in this web. And I don't want to, you know, speak in about anybody or any individual, but it's a good thing that they've come in, get it cleaned up, get all the cheese out of the game, and move forward with the greatest game played outdoors.
Dale, for administration purposes, and you know, this and other, you know, and other headline grabbing, you know, things that have been fuel for those that that are calling for federal oversight. What's your opinion or your vision for the best way to administer things? Because it doesn't appear that there's much different about the USADA concept than what we're doing now. And in fact, the infrastructure would be utilized, you know, as it stands, maybe enhanced. But how do we go forward? What is the best tools at your disposal? You've been around the game forever. You're born into it, and you've seen every manner undoubtedly of, you know, edge taking and, you know, hijinks that, you know, in some ways are part of the game's lore, but at the same time, given where we are right now, clearly just doesn't, you know, doesn't fit, and we've got to figure out a way to, you know, make things work.
That's a good question, and you know, I heard it was announced the other day that I was joining the Integrity Act push on your show. And I've been in a lot of conversations with the guys behind the federal bill. And what I told them that day is, I'm just about ready. Something has to change. You know, it's not a matter of having to change. It's a matter of having to keep up with times and keep moving forward. You can condense databases. You can expand investigations a lot easier now than it used to be when it was all state by state. The current bill, there's good people behind it. It's written with good intentions. There's things, some major things in it that I don't personally feel comfortable with yet. We're coming that direction. And I don't know. I don't like the federal government involved in our lives any more than they have to be. But, you know, one nation, one national body might be the right way to go in some form, whether it's the bill that's you know, in Washington right now or some version of it. But the good thing is there's a lot of good people in this game. There's a lot of bright people, good minds. To get in the room, this is a time, you know, we keep talking about this country, how divided we are, and that's in everything. It's in sports, that's in business, that's in politics. You need to come together and come to the final conclusion of what's the best for everyone, even if it means a little pain or a little bit of not exactly what you want, but it's better for the whole. And I think that's going to happen. I think that both sides realize that it's time to get into a room, discuss it, listen to one another's disagreements on either what's there or what's not there, and let's you know, let's figure out what's best—the best way to get this to move forward. The game as a whole,
right?
It's a difficult thing. It's difficult times. You know, everything in the world begins with good intentions, and then the abuse comes around. Whether it's Social Security, whether it's Medicare, whatever it is, it's the abusers that get involved. And how you keep abuse of any system out is what we got to come to the final conclusion on.
One area, Dale, that has been very interesting to see the pushback against the ownership side, which is not something that you really had heard before about, you know, laying some of this on the feet of owners that are have a win at all costs, clearly a win at all cost approach, and I. I'm curious, you know, from your experience in terms of, you know, owners, you know, Chuck Simon on Wednesday, Chuck had a great line, and he told me this before, but he had an owner who asked, you know, parenthetically, are we doing everything possible to win? And Chuck said, everything legal, yeah.
I've heard a lot of that over the years, and, you know, not with my main client base. I've got a great client base that's been with me for a long time, and they know up front, I'm going to sleep good at night. I'm not going to go to bed worrying about you. I'm too paranoid already worried about getting up in the morning and the FBI be sitting in my barn over some money. I was born bloody and broken. I'll leave that way. But here's the thing of pressure we're under as a trainer. You know, we have to keep our owners happy. If you're not winning 30%, but the guy next door to you is, and something's got to be wrong. Something, you know, it's not right, and you're losing horses to these guys. I do believe strongly that owners have a responsibility to either know what's going on with their horse, or if they don't know, they should know. You know, they've got an investment in there. At the end of the day, the buck stops there on the welfare and care of their animal, who they give the horse to take care of. So I don't know how you would handle it, but they should at least be looked at.
It's
a tough situation. I've been pretty fortunate in my life. I got a good owner base. You know Frank Jones. I had him from day one. So I'm always going to have a horse to train. But I see guys out here that are really put under the gun and lose horses and go out of business, and they're doing everything right. And they're taking as good a care of the horse as possible. They get beat up on message boards about not winning. It's a tough world.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens in the next 90 days if we're racing anywhere. I just heard that France canceled all racing till mid-May. You know, what's going to happen or what goes on, how we go forward.
But now, we should know.
As far as the FBI sting, I think that at the end of the day, let's say everything, the coronavirus passes, we get through the next 90 days, racing's back to semi-normal, life's back to semi-normal. Racing's going to be better off, much better off because of this. And I think it will be for a long time because it'll be in people's minds forever that even though they tell me I can't get caught, eventually everyone gets caught.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, that was certainly the initial reaction was to say that hopefully this is enough of a deterrent and whatever else comes subsequently. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of questions being asked, Dale. Well, right now, the immediate concern is keeping everybody healthy and racing where in the venues and the regions that are allowing racing to continue, see if it can't provide a distraction for people. And
exactly. It's the only sport working right now. And then let me say, if you've always been a race fan, you're a race fan, stick with racing. This is only going to make it better. And if you were a race fan that left, come back and give us a second chance.
Well, we hope. Now, Dale, as always, appreciate it. Appreciate the gut level and the reaction and the unvarnished response.
Well, it's not our normal conversation. We didn't argue and laugh and cut up about stuff, but at certain times in life, I call it, you got to go into Spock mode, drop all emotion and figure things out.
Well put. Dale Romans, everybody, Romans Racing, and
thank you,
a big win. Thank you. Sally's Curlin winning the Hurricane Birdie on Saturday and clearly making her way, into that one turn Fillion Mare arena, and is going to focus on those, you know, logical mid 90s, 90. She got 93, I think 93 buyers. Right. And, that's a career best for her. She had previously, and that, I think that's a great way to start a 4-year-old season with a new career top. That bodes very well. Last seen in the Fall City. And assuming that things go forward, Dale 1 or 2 in the bluegrass attachment rate, maybe even Dennis's moment, if things work out, we'll see. And he's got that four grands who look terrific. That's also an all-bah filly. I'm not sure. Case, what'd you find out? Did we understand that Sirius XM has got a skeleton crew operating at the various installations, at the various relay points and studios. L.A., I think what, L.A., New York, D.C., Atlanta, and there's apparently a lot, almost everything is being, they're basically using tapes from over the last several days. So if you didn't hear the show live, Case will work with them and get the replay put up for tomorrow morning. But that apparently that's what's happening. They're hamstrung at the studios, operating with the skeleton crew. Crazy situation. We'll talk to Tom Ventura tomorrow about OBS. Look at the catalog. Watch the Breeze show. Get approved for credit. Buy yourself a two-year-old. That'll cheer you up. Want to thank Dale Robbins and Tom Amos, Michael McCarthy, and Johnny. Casey has got to run out. Got a doctor's appointment, so we want to make sure we're going to keep Casey healthy here. And look for the archive and podcast and everything a little bit later this afternoon, all right? Thanks, everybody. Stay healthy. Do the right thing here. Protect your family and protect people you don't even know. Back after this, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. GAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.